Your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Crescent moon, it's a Gemini moon, and I'm coming to you live and direct from my subterranean lair. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we are all vibrating the same frequency. My amazing guest tonight is my friend and colleague, Misha Johnston. She hosts the Starseed Awakening Show on KCOR Radio. She's an MK Ultra MyLab specialist. She's an alien abductee specialist. She has a lifelong of experiences, and she just has a overwhelming amount of information and intel, and has been working with people in her support groups that she facilitates, that I attend even sometimes. She just does amazing work with people. And we just got her, you know, she was just doing work right from a regression or something now. So, you know, she I hope one of many times I'm going to have her on Spiral Radio. She's a friend of mine. Over the last year, I've got to know her a little bit, and I'm really excited to have her on. And an hour is going to go by so fast. So I just want to bring her on right away so we can get right into it. Misha, welcome to Spiral Radio.
Thank you, Ra. I really appreciate you having me.
Yes, and everybody on the Para-X in the chat room, just get ready, because Misha is she's really been through everything in life, and the amount of information and things that she's experienced are really important to what's going on the planet right now. I mean, I feel like everybody to some degree is under some type of programming or mind control. And, you know, Misha, part of her work is facilitating groups to help people cope with these things. And, you know, she spends hours upon hours a week, you know, three times a week, she does like 3 to 4 hours of groups. And it's so amazing. And, you know, Misha, I just want to, you know, start from, if we can, just to get people to know exactly, you know, what kind of background you even come from. It's amazing, because even when I know just a few things that I've heard you say in group, and I was, you know, getting some overwhelming feelings even about your father, you know, and I would love you to, if you can, if you, whatever you're willing to share with us, you know, about who he was and how that led you to become on the path that you are on.
Okay. I will do that. You know, and I'm so glad that you come to the group, and the groups are, of course, are on Zoom, so they're internet, so anybody can come and attend them. So please, you know, contact me on starseedawakening.org, my website, or go to the Facebook sites, MK Ultra My Lab, DID group, or the Starseed group. So just kind of start off, I'm a third generational in Rosicrucians, let's say, is my that's part of the background that people have who they seem to be in the mind control. And my I just found not just very recently about my grandmother and how she she was a really odd, very mean lady. I remember, all of us remember that about her. But my father was in the Rosicrucians as a child. And so the mind control started in him, I'm sure. In fact, looking at some things that happened to him and the abuses that happened to him, I know that they started mind control on him at some young age. And in fact, unfortunately, it does carry on. And my my trauma-based mind control started at a baby, I would imagine, but I have no memories of it. So the first memory I have is at 3 years old, where I have memories of my father doing trauma-based mind control. And in that way, it has to be of a physical, sexual, painful nature in order to do the splitting the personality.
Oh, so he was sort of a dark magician.
Well, my father was very much so. He was, you know, from Rosicrucian, from a child, he was into magic. And as in Rosicrucians, he did magic. He was in the black, I believe, the black part of Rosicrucians. I'm not saying all Rosicrucians are bad, but there are sects of them that are, just like with anything.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, no, they can take some secret knowledge, some ancient mysteries, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's some good stuff to it as well. But my father one day came home, and this was before any children were born, and he came home to mom, and he said, "I have learned so much, and there is so much more that's unseen, and so much that we as humans and I have done, but it comes with such a great price." Whoa. And then he put a cup on the table and moved it with his mind and showed my mother how he could move it with his mind. So these are the type of things that I grew up with. My father always had symbology and things that he used. Yeah. There was some kind of a thing that he always made us do that we were supposed to get out of this. We draw
like a ring?
The thing.
Did he have
he had a ring. Whoa. And his ring, he could tell if we were telling the truth or not.
Yeah, no, I could see it. I could see it. I could see a shiny ring right now. I think he even had some kind of Goetia daemon that would assist him in these acts that he made a pact with.
He did do some agreements. It was very, very. If anybody goes on my website, they'll see pictures of my father. And if they go on right now while we're talking,
I'm going on it now. You got me going.
Starseedawakening.org. Go to the part where I think it's my story or my experiences, and you'll see very first that my father, and you know, just seeing him, you can see in his eyes that he's also mind control. I only remember really very little of my childhood, very, very little of my childhood. But what I can remember in all the way up to my senior year was probably an hour or 2 hours. I mean, I just don't have any memories of that. And the memories that I have been able to retrieve through the work I'm doing with my PTSD and hypnotherapy as well, and some other methods that I've used with Reiki and clearing and healing and things like that, I have come up with the memories of what happened to me. And at age 9, I was put into service. And that is to say that there was a house that was kind of like a mansion in my mind, in my child's mind at 3 or 4 years old. My father used to take me down in the basement. That's where the programming was done and the trauma was done. And then there was a tunnel that went from our house over to this large house. It was kind of like a mansion, kind of kitty quarter. And in fact, that house was well known for being haunted. And so was never, ever owned. The owner would never rent it out, or it was never resold. It was just always this vacant house, but that people would never go because it was haunted. Wow. And I think that's how they kept everyone away. But there is where I remember seeing other children in sexual rituals and really horrific things at that time.
Jesus. Did you used to see apparitions as well in those tunnels, and you remember being around in those tunnels?
Yeah, there was some kind of an apparition I was terrified of. I called it the aliens. I was afraid that he would take me – please don't take me to the aliens. Dad, please don't take me to the aliens. And so I don't know if – because I have so much flashes and memory. I remember seeing men over there, old men that I actually know as being parishioners in the church I went to and attended. And I was in the Assembly of God Church, which is a Pentecostal church, like full gospel kind of thing. And so they
and were the majority of the men in that church Rosicrucian as well?
I don't know if they were. I just know that they were there at the ceremonies.
And they so it was like sex magic rituals, which is basically like an astral technology.
Yes. Yeah, it was sex magic rituals. And I can't say that I was ever in like a pedophilia ring where there was video or anything like that, because I don't remember any of that. I can only remember those sex rituals. And deeper and deeper ingrained the trauma in me, because I actually saw sacrifices as well. So those,
like a black mass.
Yeah. Yeah. They wore black hooded clothes. They had slabs and stuff over there. They were underground as well. It was underground. I know it was all underground. I do remember seeing draconians at that time. That was like the first time I have a memory of, I believe they were the reptilians that I saw.
They
were the aliens that I saw were draconians.
Wow.
And I was to see them a lot in my life in other ceremonies and things like that.
That's interesting, because remember when I was on your show, on the Star City Awakening show on KCOR Radio, I mentioned how when I was a kid, that experience I had with the hooded, like Komodo dragon type looking guys, they're walking upright and they had these hoods on, and they were around this ceremony, and they were chanting like Native American chants.
Yeah. It is like Native American. There's one word I can remember. It's abate, but I don't know what that means. And I put it in. Did I put it? No, I put it in my book the first time around. I think I may have took it out second, because I was attacked when I was about to publish my book and ended up in the hospital. So, but
yeah, I think they're connected. That's how the Hopi Indians even got involved with this snake priests, and they have a certain language. And the Hopis are connected with some of these reptilians as well.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
And I also have memories. My grandmother lived on Asylum Lane. That's not the name of it, but that was the name in my mind it was called, because the insane asylum was out there. And I spent some time in it being trained and some of the more things, that they did to me. There was something about – I found out in my research that there was in this particular place, which was the Blackfoot Idaho Asylum, and it was about 1,000 graves are within the asylum cemetery boundary.
Oh my God.
Only a small number currently have markers on them.
Oh my God. You want to hear something crazy, Misha?
What's that?
I have something similar right down the street from where I grew up, called Letchworth Village. It's like I think they even featured it on like one of those ghost adventure type shows. Uh-huh. And it used to be Native American grounds, and then they made it into Letchworth Village, which is about 30 stone buildings of mental asylums, and now it's closed. But in like the 80s or 70s, Geraldo Rivera did a show about it, like, because they were understaffed, people laying in their own feces. They were doing experiments on lobotomies, everything there, you know?
Yeah, they do that. They did that at this place. This was, you can actually look this place up. It's really well known for having a horrifying history. I did know that there was a lot of times I was there. That was, I believe, when they started the childhood training on me on, I'm going into a whole lot of blank spots here. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I know we're jumping around, but it's a really interesting. People are loving it in the chat room too.
Sensitization, but God, boxes. You know, they put me in boxes. You know, and I remember pounding on the box, pounding, and I finally realized won't let me out. So I'm going to get out myself. So that's how I started to learn how to out of body. So I out of bodied at a very young age, and in fact, my father during one of the this was another. Memory that's come back to me that during one of the trauma things he was doing to me, he said, I have to do this to you because you have to learn how to be able to leave your body so you don't feel the pain. So once you leave, so I have to do this because you have to learn how to leave your body because worse pain will happen to you than I could ever give you. And you have to learn how to leave your body.
Yeah.
So I believe this is when the splitting started. I know this is when the splitting started at 3 years old because I do have dissociated identity disorder. I have integrated it to a very, very large degree. But when I talk about it, I see my reactions and stuff, and I know I can feel some of the other alters wanted, like, you know, want to move in. But I have integrated it so that I am totally in control. So I'm not going to go splitting off on you here. So let's see.
That's interesting, though, too, because, like, even in, like, in astral, the symbols of a box or a cube is a symbol for a prison, you know, and like a prison for our consciousness, even like these cubes. And, you know, that box symbol is everything, you know, is a symbol for being in a prison, you know, and even like
coffin and all of that. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Buried alive kind of thing.
When you're in a prison, you're in a cell, you're in a cube, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and they had a way of even when you were not in a cell, you were in a dark room, and, you know, the food was sparse. If you'd cry, they'd for water or something, they'd come and throw a bucket of water on you, and, you know, it was just – that's the memories I have of that.
Well, they're trying to break the mind. When you break the mind, then it's easily programmable because then they come and rescue and say, hey, I'm your friend now. And then they manipulate you and program your mind. And once the mind breaks and you're in that stage where it's just broken, then they can like program behind the drama and behind that block that your brain puts up. They easily program it and manipulate it like it's files, you know, and then insert some kind of like code there for later activated or whatever, you know.
Well, yeah. To my understanding, the CIA bought my services from my father in 1952, starting at age 4. Over the next 12 years, I was tested, trained, and used in various ways, electric shock, drugs, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, other types of trauma. And I was used it was all used to make me compliant and split so that they can – So once you're compliant and such, then they know that they have the right alter out. Because, in fact, one of my alters said to me, I had to, because we asked when she was born, and she said she was born at when I was 3 years old. She gave me the date. And she said, I had to because if I didn't, she would have died. She's not as strong as I am. So, you know, things like that. So let me see. So we were at 9. As I was older, and again, I have very few memories about this too, but I was in the Job's Daughters, which is what the Masonic temple has for young girls at that time. I think they've changed the name now. It's not Joe's Daughters anymore.
Was your dad's father as well a magician and a Rosicrucian and intersecret societies?
We don't know who my dad's father was. We never got to be able to find out.
How did your dad end up in that? Like, where did
because of his mother.
Oh, his mother. Okay.
His mother was a Rosicrucian.
That's right.
So I guess his father was. I don't know. His mother was a very strange lady. She went to her grave without.
That was
ever
the that was the really the evil one that you said that was really mean. That one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And they were only married for a short time and had my dad, and then they divorced. I think maybe 3 or 4 years. But
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm really interested in hearing about your dad's ring a little more and what happened to it when he passed.
He was buried with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely something trapped, because sometimes they trap the daemons within the ring. Like, that's
That could be very well. Well, you know, my dad at his deathbed said to me, he said that mom had left and gone home and to get a shower, and I was there by myself, and he took my hand and he said, because he'd been in and out of coma. He was dying of a terrible, terrible cancer that was eating him in his had brain cancer and throat cancer. And you know how it is when you have that kind of, it goes inside your body, and that's what happened. So this awful cancer killed him. But he gave me a deathbed confession and said, I'm so sorry what I did to you. I'm so, so sorry what I did to you. But I had to, because your mother she couldn't stand to lose any more children. Now, I'm from a family of 10 kids, and within the time I was born, 4 of them died.
Whoa.
Kinds of different things. And I looked up to see if they all had birth and death certificates, and they did have that, but my parents don't have pictures of them, or they didn't have any.
I don't know. You know, see, I don't even know if you're willing to talk about this or bring this up, but I feel like it's possibly related to the contracts your dad made in the astral, almost, you know, like with these beings.
I don't know. I don't know if it was the beings or if it was the government or who it was, because I know he was.
Well, I think it's all one and the same. I think they're you know, they're working with this technology that's involving entities. You know, it's like interdimensional technology and covert technology. And I think that somehow these beings, like, I think that what we see as magic is basically like high technology. It's like soul technology, astral technology, different kind of technology that looks like magic to us. Just like if we would go back in time or go to a foreign place with an iPhone or an Android, they think we'd have a freaking magic wand in our hand, you know? It's sometimes technology looks like magic, and I think that these entities are part of this technology, and that these covert military programs are working with these entities and this technology, and I think that they make contracts with these entities so they can gain some power in the physical realm, but at a high price. And I think that's what your dad was talking about.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly true.
And he probably was threatened even by the
my
military.
My father, his show was not just magic. It was called the Great London Ghost Show, and he conjured ghosts up in his show, supposedly. Oh. You know, if the people see the ghosts, that, you know, it was all, you know, it's not GDI or whatever that is. It's very old stuff. But that was what he did, and he was illusionist. He also was a mind reader. He did mind reading stuff, so he was completely enveloped in it. And I will say to you that it's like oh God, when was it? Probably I must have been about 12 or something when he. How old was I? She was 17. Yeah, I must have been about 12, because both my brother and sister and my young other sister were all part, because they were older, they were all part of his show, and they used to go on the road with him, and they hated every minute of it. The two older ones, the younger one, she was his pride and joy prima donna. So everything she wanted, she got. But the other two hated him so much that they ran away. One ran away at 17. The other one ran away at 16. He joined the military by forging their signatures and stuff. So it was not a very pleasant thing. So they never talked to him again and wouldn't come to his funeral or anything like that. So they hated my father till the day he died. But I understood, because of that many kids dying, then I believe that I choose to believe it this way. He did not tell me this, so I can't say, but I choose to believe that my father, they wanted them to turn over a child, and they fought it and they wouldn't do it. And so they ended up killing them anyway. That's my belief. That's what I feel.
So they basically used
and
you
so
in,
at
in,
age
in the
wow. Right. And so then yeah. I was number 9, and then there was one to be born after me, and my father told me that number 10 was supposed to be the one that he would pass over, because it was not attached. Mother would not be attached to that child, but that child died in childbirth. Jeez. Was still born. So then it reverted back to me, and so that's when it started with me. So let's see, where else can we go? We haven't got much more time here. Okay, so I don't have much. I don't even remember my graduation, for instance. don't remember any. I don't even remember my child's childbirth. I don't remember their children's.
So I have basically, two sons, like, I don't remember, you were, a lot was wiped from your memory too.
Well, yeah, whether it was wiped from my memory or they were using me through that time, I'm not sure which. But yeah, I don't have memories of my life at all, which really I'm working very hard in right now. I purchased Kathy O'Brien's PTSD book, and I'm working with it. It is a book to try to help you retrieve your memory. So I'm working on that along with you know, I'm a hypnotherapist, but, you know, I need a hypnotherapist for me. I haven't had one for a while. My last one, she moved away, and so now I haven't got a hypnotherapist. So I'm just kind of retrieving the memories on my own. So it's a slow process.
Yeah, I think the best way to heal, especially for someone like you, is to do it yourself, you know, for you to – because you're gonna know the best way that you're going to respond to certain things, and maybe certain things aren't meant to be – revealed, you know, maybe you've, right, you know, maybe you've had enough and it's time to move on. But it's when we get back from break, we're going to go to break for it. Then I really want to get into like that experience in college that you had too, with the dream experiments. And then after that, like some of your experiences with the willow creature and those alien type experiences that you've had, because I think that's all relevant to what's happening, you know, all around us. You know, I really feel like that basically this humanity is being conducted like an orchestra, and these beings are the conductors, you know. Mm-hmm. and we're being used as experiments, and most people don't even realize it.
That's right.
I bet you your dad was a hard man to lie to too, huh?
Well, you never could lie to him. He always knew. And he was very, very abusive. To the degree of, you know, beating.
Wow.
Not so much my generation, not so much the last six kids, but the first last five kids, but the first five kids, the two that hated him said they used to beat him all the time.
Yeah, usually the older ones usually get it the worst. In my family too, the older kids got it, you know, more than I did.
Yeah, but I when I think of my father, I just think of this crazy-eyed looking man that looked like he was crazy.
Possessed. Yeah.
Well, he was. Yeah, I'm sure he was. I do feel he was possessed. Yeah. However, I will tell you, towards the end, that's when he got into religion. And not really in as much as spiritualism. Okay, I think we've got to go.
Yeah, no, too. When we come back, too, maybe we can talk about how you do the galactic channeling as well. I think that's very interesting. And when we come back, everybody, we have the wonderful Misha Johnston here. You can find her at starseedawakening.org. And you can find me, Ra, at themysticalspiral.com. The song is called Movie Star Fix from Analog Driver. And Spiral out.
Anywhere. Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
And we are back. My name is Ra Castaldo, and we are beneath the Gemini Crescent Moon with Misha Johnston from starseedawakening.org. And I want to welcome everybody in the chat room. I want to thank my producer out there, Sarge, and everybody for joining us each and every week. And you should really check Misha out. She's also on KCOR Radio every Saturday, and she hosts the Starseed Awakening show, and she also does support groups on Zoom. If you're just joining us, Misha talked about how she grew up in a family of secret societies and MK Ultra mind control done to her and all types of rituals that she was involved in. And she's really persevered through it all and is trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And, you know, this world, people got to realize, Gaia, Mother Earth, we are much different than other planets because we have this material plane sort of simulation. And sometimes, like, even if we look at other planets with technologies or astronauts go to different places, it looks barren because maybe that planet does not have a material plane. But maybe there are other entities on other planes of existence that we cannot see with our visible light spectrum. And just like on Earth, there are seven planes of existence that we know of. And on these other planes, there are other beings that we just can't see with our normal eyes. And, you know, people like Misha and other people have been able to tap into certain things like this because of certain abilities that were awakened within them that was passed down through their genetics and DNA. And, you know, even though Misha talks about how bad of a man her dad was at times, that she inherited certain abilities throughout her, you know, in her genetics from this man as well. And, you know, and he probably got it from before him, and it's probably been in her family for hundreds and hundreds of years. And, you know, I'm really interested in hearing too, Misha, how you basically were in college, right? And someone came in, you were, I don't know if you were having lunch or whatever, but you were in college and someone said, hey, if you want to make extra money, you could be in these dream experiments. Or right. Something like that. And then the next thing you know, you woke up on a bus 8 months later, right? Or something.
Right. You got all of that. We'll just leave it like that, and then I'll go from there. Because, well, I should say, he said it's a dream experiment, and you make money. So I went, last thing I remember is going into the building. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And the next thing I remember is almost 8 months later. And I look down at the ticket. I know it's not my name. And I'm going, who is this? And where am I coming from? Because my last memory was in Idaho. And all the way home on the bus, I kept trying to remember. And I had a program. And the program was, I was married. And my husband didn't want to be married to me anymore because he was a Navy Marine Corpsman. And that his parents said, get rid of the wife and we'll send you through medical school. And that was the program in my head. But I couldn't picture the man. I couldn't picture anybody. I couldn't picture the face. I was just the program. And so when I got home, my parents had told me that, yes, indeed, the college meeting was in January, very early January. And then in February, I contacted them and said, I'm getting married, put an ad in the paper. And then in February 18th, I was invited them to a wedding and I got married. Don't remember that, of course. They said that they hated, not only they hated my husband-to-be, but my sister also hated him so much. And actually, there'd been some interaction with her at her home by him and I, which I had no memories of something to do with, she came home from me babysitting for her child. She came home and there were candles all over the floor. And I met her at the door and said that I was so happy because Charlie had brought in a spirit or some conjured something up, you know. I don't remember any of this. I don't remember any of it. I don't remember the wedding. I don't remember the man. I don't remember walking down the aisle. I don't remember any of it. So I did find out that called the driving program. And in the driving program, they put you to sleep for days at a time. They program, they can program you in. Whatever else they did, I don't know. But at that time, I also had an injury to my foot that since then I've realized was done because they were testing me to make sure that I would do what they said, and I was stepping down on a screw, and they said, step harder, step harder, step harder. And it was it was on a dock. So I don't know how I got from Idaho to a dock, but the memory that plays in my head is I stepped on a piece of glass on a beach, but now there's no beach in Idaho. So
these are implanted.
They're all implanted, but nothing fits. You know, when you look at it, it doesn't fit. So anyway, so then the very next day after the wedding, my parents said that they never saw me again, that he took me and somewhere, and they didn't know anything about it until I called him from the bus station.
Wow. 8 months
later.
And you have no recollection of this man at all, like who he was?
No, I have a name, and I've searched and searched, and I recently went and did a search because on Ancestry to try to find him. I believe my license that everything was a fraud, was a fake, because Whoa. There's no record of our marriage. There's no record of his military. There's no record because he was supposed to be a Navy Marine corpsman, and there's no record of him.
So how long were you married?
I guess for 8 months, because that's how long I was gone.
And then have you had any contact since or anything?
Well, in fact, I know it's 8 months because I had – no, never saw him again. No, because I had the license. I had the license that I've gotten since then. So I've been able to retrieve the marriage license. And then I have my divorce papers that have a date on them too. So I've pieced that all together. So it's right around 8 months that I was gone.
Yeah, well, Misha, you gotta when you get this you got it pretty much mapped out, but you got to put this in a book. You have to.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on. I am working on, and I've written a lot of it. But I do want to read something to you just really quick.
Go ahead.
This is called a Monarch Programming is a method of mind control used by numerous organizations for covert purposes. Sadistic and traumatization of the victim, creating a mind-controlled slave who can be triggered at any time to perform any action required by the handler. This is accomplished by techniques comprising elements of satanic ritual and MPD, DID, of course, multiple personality, DID as well, as I've said. Multiple personality disorders are utilizing a combination of psychological hypnosis, neuroscience, and occult rituals to create altered personalities. The primary important factor for this trauma-based mind control is the ability to dissociate. It was discovered that this ability is passed genetically from generation to generation. The CIA and the Illuminati are skilled at blackmailing parents to give up their children. They would watch the mail for porn, pedophilia, murders, or abuse, or people who abuse their children are warned that they will go to prison for a long length of time if they do not cooperate by selling their children into mind control slavery. The type of father who is most preferred by the programmers to offer up their children for programming is a pedophile. If a father will abuse his little baby girl, then the programmers know that this man has no conscience. Now, I'm not saying that's what my father was, because I believe his was trauma, mind control as well. But
you could basically say that he was your handler, right?
Definitely my handler, yeah.
Wow,
right.
Yeah.
And in fact, every man I've had in my life since then was my handler, with the exceptions of one man. And I was married, actually, sometime after that in 1984, and was married for 20 years. But he was also my handler, but I don't think he knew. They just used him because he was an abuser and he was an alcoholic. So
have you ever had a male relationship where you felt safe?
Just the one that I had for 4 years, but in my opinion, they killed his father so that he had to go home and take care of his mother who was invalid.
Oh my God.
That was the end of that relationship.
So trust can be a real problem for you.
Yeah. Yes, that's why I'm single, I think.
Well, I'm interested. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Have you ever seen in my family history, we have these beings called the Capinera, which are basically what in America they call the Men in Black. And these, what we see them as, they're sort of like timekeepers and time jumpers. And they silence and keep record of all supernatural encounters and all types of alien encounters and all types mm-hmm. of people who have abilities, and they also manipulate time and go back in time and manipulate things. Have you ever had encounters with any types of these beings?
No. As far as I'm concerned, I've never had a Men in Black. I've had one situation where I was chased with the men in a black sedan. They had the black suits and such like that when they pulled up alongside of me and then started, following me. But that was it.
Even we believe them also. They could be not just men in black like they picture them like in a black suit. We also picture them as these beings in black cloaks, almost like they look like they're from biblical times.
I don't know. I can't really say. I know that later on when I was 16, I was abducted in what I thought was a UFO experience, and I was taken to an underground base, and there I was in some ceremony where the humans were in black cloaks. Are dark purple. I couldn't tell you for sure.
Oh, my God. That's almost exactly similar to what happened to me, remember? Wow.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, when we talked on your show, and I was in 1987 with the – they were in these dark purple robes with the reptile-like beings, remember?
Yeah, but some of them were human and some of them were reptile in this and in the circle. And there was a platform that there were – A soldier. I'm not a soldier. He was like a lieutenant colonel. I know that's what he was because
wow.
Lieutenant colonels keep coming back into my life over and over again, even to the degree of they physically have come in and have threatened.
This is draconian magic. Yeah, it's like draconian magic that they're using. It's really? Ancient. Yeah,
there was a large draconian that I could really, really see up on the platform, on this rock platform. And then there was the lieutenant colonel that was standing right next to him. And then there was the ceremony. And in that point, I remember that was when I remember saying these chants and stuff like that, too. And which is just like burns in my mouth, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I won't repeat them.
Yeah. I wouldn't want
to. So anyway, so we'll go back to where I was in Seattle. And while I was in Seattle, I was trained as a monarch there. And I would imagine probably all the time from January on, they started the programming with the driving program, which started with Dr. Cameron in Canada, actually started the program. And so once in, I didn't even know where I was, but I had memories. Now these were the real memories. The fake memory was I was with a group of people who cleaned mansions. The real memory is I pulled up in the bus with some young men, 10, 12 year old, who I know were the Montauk. And then us as monarchs were 17 through 18, 19. I pulled up a lot and I saw this big iron gate. On the other side of the iron gate, I see this big mansion. And it's not daytime when you clean houses. It's at night. And I see lights. And it's definitely something going on. It's a party. We're driven around to the back. And we the party favors. The boys are kept upstairs. The girls are put in fancy clothes and brought downstairs to mingle and to be chose. And this is like in the show Eyes Wide Shut. It was the same kinds of ceremonies and things like that with the masks on and that people wore and all of that.
Wow.
So Eyes Wide Shut is a very real show. And I believe this took
I've never
place
seen it. Now you got me interested.
Island, Victoria Island is the name. It's somewhere in Canada. I'm not exactly sure. That's where I believe it was. I don't know for sure, and I haven't found it, and I've been trying to find it, but I don't know for sure.
Wow. Imagine when you do find it and it like clicks in your head. It's going to be so crazy.
Yeah, because later on, we weren't going to be able to get into it anyway, but I was retaken again in San Francisco.
We'll have you back for sure.
Okay, and they took me to San Francisco, so I have other memories of that one. But with this monarch thing, that was my training, and I had memories of being a drug. I would probably transfer drugs, or I take drugs to people. I would
really? Pick
messages to people. I'll just tell you one experience where I remember I was to take a message, a courier, were couriers as well. I was taken. Now, let me also tell you that I want to read this as well.
How did you break the mind control? How did you break all of this?
I worked a lot on it from
Since when? How long have you been away from them manipulating what they were? Because basically, you were being controlled to bring packages and doing this. So when did you break that, and how?
I broke it. I can't say it was completely broken until 2001.
Wow.
And I broke that because it was not quite 2001. It was late 2000. But I was having encounters with ETs, and I was having encounters often throughout my life. And I had come to a point where so many things were happening. At this time, I was trying to write a book with Melinda Leslie. Melinda Leslie and I had been abducted out of my house. So these are all stories we can go back to when I come back again. But I'd gotten to the end of my rope, and I'd asked for help. And my ETs, next thing I know, I'm standing in front of a council, and the council, I'm begging them to let me come home. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And they said, well, beloved, you not remember you asked for this mission, and you must complete this mission. And I said, but I can't do it. It's too hard. And, you know, I they're going to harm my family. And they said, well, what we can do is we can help you cancel your contracts. So at that time, I believe all my contracts were canceled. I could actually visually see these contracts, and I canceled all of them. Now, that is including the physical ones, all physical contacts. As wow. far as astral, that's a whole different thing. You can't, but I believe all my contracts were canceled from my government, my mind control, my MKUltra. Were canceled at that time, because after that, my life took a really normal turn. I did, however, get out of everything for about eight years, almost close to nine. Try to kind of have a normal life until I was pulled back here because my mother was dying, and I ended up getting my groups going again. So it was a real good thing that I came back, but I was out of it for a long time. But anyway, just to tell you, in my research, I found that repinol and ketamine have become known as they know them as the date rate drug. But the
Special K, yeah.
They have been using them for a long, long time. They're a predatory drug. They cause dizziness, dissociation, loss of inhibition, and a loss of consciousness. They can also be, they also produce amnesia.
It's a horse tranquilizer, ketamine.
Yeah. Causing a victim to be unclear of what, if any, crime was committed. These drugs are particularly dangerous when combined with alcohol. Hypnosis and drugs and psychosurgery separately and combined were the tools of this quest for the ultimate truth serum on one hand, and the capability to create an agent who could not have his or her mission tortured out of them, or even be aware that they were carrying secret information given to them in an altered state of consciousness. Yeah. More and more sophisticated drugs were experimented with such as LSD, ketamine, psilocybin, lobotomies, and implantations of electrodes and electric shock were also used. And these were voice helmet. I also remembered the helmets, which were pictured helmets that they put on your head that you saw. This horrifying imagery, just horrifying
yeah.
imagery, killing
yeah, other people, yes.
and all of that. This systematic program is to create a multiple altered personality as the foundation for programmed couriers' resistance to torture, where their primary personality would not be even be aware of a secret information being carried. The information could be summoned forth via post-hypnotic command or response to a pre-programmed cue. So this was some research that was done, and I just felt that it really fit what happened with me in my life. So I know we're running out of time, and you wanted me to talk a little bit about the ET experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want either – okay, there was two things that I really wanted to talk about you. So whatever one you want to talk about now, you can talk about now. Next time we bring you on the other. One was the Willow type okay. character that you, and the other one was your galactic channeling that really interests me as well.
Okay, well, I come to find out there were two. There was a willowy one, which was an ET that was with me all my childhood and up into my teen years. And also I was in part of the hybrid program, which is a whole nother show. but the willowy one was a very loving being. And I know that to be absolute true, but I also now have found out that they used a copycat one that looked much like the willowy one. He was tall. He was beige white, whereas the willowy one was, I know it was a completely different one. He had abalone white skin with abalone colors in his skin. It was like colorful, whereas the other ones were a white gray kind of dull color. And they would take me to underground bases, and I used to think, because I was very confused, because I'd look at my drawings of when I was a teenager and said, how come I'm going to underground bases with the willowy one? And I did some work on it and found out because, 70% of the abductions are done by the government. Or maybe not 70. I don't know for sure. That's
what I agree. A high percentage.
There's a high percentage are done by the government. And they fake people who are experiencers are really good candidates, because all they have to do is do some screen memory like they now have the ability to do, and make you think that you're seeing your same friends that you had for your whole life. Yeah. And then you let down your guard and you become more and more vulnerable that way.
I even think they're cloning memories and cloning people and cloning, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely think that, too. In fact, I do regressions on people who have been cloned, and it's quite amazing to what you hear. So my regressions are for trauma release therapy. It's specialized in that kind of stuff. Okay. So the willowy one was let me see, more to tell you about him. There wasn't a lot to tell because they don't have a lot of memories other than the memories of the hybrid program. He was there, he or she was there during my presentations for the children. The willowy one, I called it the willowy one because it was tall. It was like 6 feet tall, and it would when it walked, it glided and it moved like it was, the wind was blowing it or something. That's why I call it the willowy one. And they also had the Bee Gees, which were little bear-like guys when I was 3 years old. Now, this was at the start of some of the major mind control stuff. So I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. I believe they were positive. I remember going flying with them.
Wow.
I remember that the Ewoks, when I saw the Ewoks, I went, oh my gosh, that's them.
So they were like little, they were furry?
Little furry guys. And very, very, they used to talk.
You know what? My producer Sarge had an experience. My producer Sarge had an experience similar to that when he was a kid as well.
Of the little furry guys?
Yeah, it was like some kind of little.
That's great.
Yeah.
I've had more and more people coming out about these because, you know, before people say, oh, you can't, if you can only talk about grays and reptilians, but there's so many different types of ETs that are visiting us. And I have Sarge come to the support group sometime and talk about it.
Yeah, that's not his style, but he likes to be in the background listening. But he has an interesting experience when he told me once. And yeah. We're going to have you back, Misha, definitely. Buddy, you can find Misha Johnson at
starthewakening.org.
That's starthewakening.org. And you can find her on Facebook. You can find her on Zoom with Machine Gun Support Groups, and she is also every Saturday on KCOR Radio on the Starseed Awakening Show. I am at themysticalspiral.com. I want to thank my producer, Sarge. I want to thank the chat room. Thank everybody out there listening. Enjoy the beautiful crescent moon, and I say, spiral out.